Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of subjects and issues in the news. We'll begin in a moment and speak about the hideous nuclear disaster in Japan and its consequences for the future of nuclear power and our future on this planet. Dr. Helen Caldicott joins us. She is the founder of Physicians for Social Responsibility and the author of Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. Then we'll do an update on a story that has been relegated to the back burner in spite of General Petraeus' testimony to Congress this week and polls that show a growing majority of Americans want us out of Afghanistan. We'll be joined by CNN's national security correspondent Peter Bergen, the author of The Longest War, The Enduring Conflict Between America and Al-Qaeda. Then finally, we'll be joined in the studio by the filmmakers of a stunningly beautiful film that tells an extraordinary untold story. Amanda Pope and Shavdad Gurdjieff, the co-directors and producers of The Desert of Forbidden Art, a documentary feature that opens in LA at the Lemley Music Hall tomorrow, Friday, will tell us about this amazing art treasure now under threat from the Uzbek government. I'm speaking with the single most articulate and passionate advocate for citizens' action to remedy the nuclear environmental crisis. Dr. Helen Caldicott has devoted the last 38 years to an international campaign to educate the public about the medical hazards of the nuclear age and the necessary changes in human behavior to stop environmental destruction. She's the founder of Physicians for Social Responsibility and was personally nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize by Linus Pauling. Her books include If You Love This Planet, A Plan to Heal the Earth, and most recently, Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. Thank you so much for joining us here today, and obviously this is a very tragic time for the planet, and I think what's happening in Japan, from what I've been able to learn over the last few days, is so much worse than what we've been told in our mainstream press that I sometimes wonder whether I'm living in an alternative universe.
Yes, well, the problem is we've been trying to educate the media for years, Ian, and they've simply been uninterested, and I've always said it will take a meltdown for people to understand exactly what I'm talking about, but by then it's too late, and that's what's happening right now.
Well, it seems like that not only do we have four of these six reactors at Fukushima in various stages of meltdown, and the radiation apparently now is so high that it's almost impossible to get people to stay on the site to deal with these cascading problems. The latest one in Reactor 4 appears to be that the swimming pool full of spent fuel rods and not spent fuel rods that were put in there during maintenance of Reactor 4, which was offline, they're going critical. So
they were very hot fuel rods that have just been put in the core. If they've been put from the core into the pool, they're very hot.
They're very hot, but there's no water apparently in the pool. So they're just in the atmosphere. That's exactly what happened at Chernobyl. You had fissile material because that reactor was hot when it melted down.
Yeah, and there's much more radiation in the cooling pools, as you say, they're euphemistically called swimming pools, than there is in the core of the reactor itself. It's a scenario that is almost beyond comprehension. I've described a very good Princeton study by von Hippel et al. In my book, Nuclear Power is Not the Answer to Global Warming, about a cooling pool meltdown. So it's much, much, by orders of magnitude, worse than Chernobyl. The New York Academy of Sciences has just come out with a report on Chernobyl where they translated 5,000 Russian articles for the first time into English, and the estimate is that nearly a million people have died now from Chernobyl, and that's been a massive cover-up conspiracy by the nuclear industry, massive. 40% of the European landmass is still radioactive and will remain so for hundreds of years. I don't buy European food now. Turkey got a hell of a lot of radiation. But this is by orders of magnitude much worse.
Why do you think they've got away with it for so long? I just was...
Look, it's complex, Ian. To understand the biological effects of radiation, and actually I've just given grand rounds in Camden Hospital in New Jersey to a lot of my colleagues, pediatricians, neonatologists. We're not taught this stuff in medical school. We are taught that radiation causes mutations and cancer, but we're not taught about the various isotopes released in nuclear power plants. We're not taught about alpha emitters that are so incredibly carcinogenic, like plutonium, uranium, and the like. We're not taught about beta emitters, and we're not taught about internal emitters. And by the way, they're running around with Geiger counters now in Japan. None of the official monitors are working around the nuclear power stations because either tsunami destroyed them or they were turned off, and they're only measuring gamma radiation. Now, gamma is emitted by some of the elements released, that's like X-rays, but also they're not measuring the alpha or beta radiation, and some of the isotopes only emit alpha and beta, and in fact they're almost the most dangerous. So the measurements we're getting are just, well, I could use a rude Australian expression, Ian, but I won't, but they're totally inadequate.
This boiling water Mark 1 General Electric reactor, 40 years old, we're now learning that the original designers quit GE in disgust because they didn't think it was a safe reactor. Was that Dale Bridenwell?
Hubbard and Minor?
Yes.
Yeah, they were my friends, fantastic men. Yeah, they were so worried about it. Yes, they resigned from GE.
And then the first head of the Atomic Energy Commission said that this was too dangerous to license, and yet somehow it got licensed. And we have 31 of these I think 26 or 23 are operating here in the United States. And, of course, the ones in Japan were also reaching the end of their life. They've just extended one of them up in Vermont that the legislature and the governor voted to be shut down, but yet the NRC just relicensed it just before this accident.
I know. This
is the extraordinary disconnect. There's got to be some peculiar, and we know our president is sticking by his pledge for $36 billion more in federal loan guarantees.
Well, Ian, I need half an hour with that president. He's got two little children that he adores. And he's hearing only from Stephen Chu, who is a physicist, and from John Holden, his science advisor, who's in favor of nuclear power. He must talk to a physician, a pediatrician. If I had half an hour with him, I could turn him round. But I don't know how to get to him. I don't know.
Well, do you think, though, that the revelations that are coming out, albeit with the press that's been heavily influenced by nuclear happy talk, I mean, reality eventually does. Of course, we all pay a price, but when reality does eventually trump propaganda.
This is the end of the nuclear power industry, Ian. It's the end of uranium mining in Australia. This is the end. And I also hope the Ramans move on to nuclear weapons, because Obama's just granted the nuclear weapons industry $85 billion to build new nuclear weapons, and that was the price he paid for getting the Senate and Senator Kyle to agree to ratify the New START treaty he had negotiated with the Russians. The whole thing is, it's nuclear madness. It's what I called my first book years ago.
Well, do you feel that over the years, we have to admit though, because we first met back in the late 70s when you were demonstrating at Rocky Flats.
Yes.
And the good news, I guess, in the intervening years has been the end of the Cold War. But
yeah, I know, but the weapon, that didn't fix a thing, Ian. The nuclear weapons are still on hair trigger alert, ready to blow up the world with a computer error or by a hacker or by some crazy person pressing the button or by, you know, misrepresenting an early warning system that's actually false. So we still live on the precipice of annihilation every second of every day. And then we've got this to contend with. Do we end with a whimper or a bang?
Well, if we go back to 45 and Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which, of course, needless to say, happened in Japan, there is this feeling that out of this kind of guilt trip, we decided to embrace the friendly atom in this idea that there was something good about nuclear.
Well, we didn't. It was the nuclear physicists, many of whom I knew, who designed the bombs during the Manhattan Project, and their guilt was so profound, having killed and vaporized over 200,000 people, that they thought they could assuage their guilt by harnessing the atom for peaceful purposes. But even they knew how dangerous the whole thing was. And as Einstein said, the splitting of the atom changed everything, save man's mode of thinking. Thus we drift towards unparalleled catastrophe. How profound is that? And Einstein also said, nuclear power's a hell of a way to boil water.
And, of course, the reactors that are melting down in Japan are the boiling water reactors Mark 1, designed by General Electric over 40 years ago.
And General Electric builds nuclear weapons and missiles. You know, it's into it right up to its neck. It's into the death industry. It's a death dealer. Builds good things for life like fridges, irons, stoves, nuclear weapons and nuclear power plants.
And I guess I don't know what the situation in Japan will be in terms of liability. But if they end up, that's a very small country. I mean, a huge swath of the Ukraine is uninhabitable as a result of Chernobyl. If this is worse than Chernobyl, it's almost mind-boggling to comprehend or to...
Oh, it's terrible. And as I watch the pictures of the people struggling through the ruins of the tsunami and earthquake, it looks just like the pictures after Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And, you know, acute radiation sickness was first described as a syndrome after those bombs were dropped, because we had never seen anything like it before. People were just dying of sort of unknown causes, bleeding to death and vomiting and diarrhea within 2 weeks after the bombs dropped, and we couldn't understand it. And now, for God's sake, the Japanese are experiencing this all over again. I mean, I tremble in my boots for Japan. And then, of course, the winds blow from west to east, and it's going to dump, I think, on America.
When you say that you think these unfolding accidents, disasters in Japan, about which we still don't know the full scope of how much radiation is going out, but if indeed these empty swimming pools full of rods that are now going critical because there's no coolant, what gives you the confidence, Dr. Helen Caldicott, that this hideous disaster in Japan that's unfolding will bring about the end of nuclear power?
That's my prediction, Ian, and I'm usually right, unfortunately. Well, this time, fortunately.
And so you think that it's just so hideous that
They
can't pretend that this stuff is containable and can cohabit with civilization and with the planet?
Nope.
And what do you think about the possibility of some of this stuff drifting to the United States?
Oh, high possibility.
They just licensed the plant in Vermont a week before accident.
But I've been heavily involved in Vermont. The governor is dead against it. The legislature is dead against it. It's not going to happen.
So,
especially now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but
all the reactors in America, 104 of them, should be closed down overnight. I mean, that's medically indicated. I'm now speaking as a physician.
But the president has stood by his pledge for $36 billion.
Yeah, but he's wrong. And think of the people in Wisconsin. Think of Egypt. If we rise up, we'll get our own way. It's just we've got to get off our couches, leave our blasted computers. Joining Facebook does nothing about the political situation. We've got to get out and take over Congress. That's our building. We paid for it. We pay for those politicians. We go and occupy it, like they have done in Wisconsin. Nothing less will fix it.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today in Los Angeles, Dr. Helen Caldicott.
Thanks, Ian.
I was speaking then with Dr. Helen Caldicott, who is the founder of Physicians for Social Responsibility. She was personally nominated for the Nobel Prize by Linus Pauling. Her earlier book was If You Love This Planet, A Plan to Heal the Earth, and her latest book is Nuclear Power is Not the Answer. We'll take a brief station break and be back talking about Afghanistan that has receded from the headlines.
Oh, this world is at a tremble with its strength and mighty power. They're sending up to heaven to get the brimstone fire. Take warning, my dear brother, be careful.